Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, David Lowery is going to join us. We're going to talk about his new film, A Ghost Story, which stars Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara, and really takes a look at the afterlife. It's almost like a new take on the haunted house genre. What happens after we die? That's the conversation that's coming up after 8 o'clock tonight here on the download. But right now, let's talk about what's in the news. Of course, flooding and the rainfall and the cresting of the rivers in the areas like Lake County, Kane, McHenry, Northern Illinois is a serious issue, continue to be. They're talking about the flooding of the rivers tonight and tomorrow as more water comes in from Wisconsin, rivers that have already crested and come down and travel south. This is a serious situation. The chain of lakes have been closed, and we continue to deal with a storm that came in very quick and dropped 6 to 8 inches in areas of Northern Illinois. That's like that. We had conversation yesterday with one of the directors of the Lake County Stormwater Management Commission tonight. Josh Mogerman from the NRDC is in to talk about floodplains, flood insurance, and how this pertains to climate change. And before we get into like the idea of making that political, it's not a political thing. This is exactly what scientists say is going to happen in the future when it comes to storms in our area, where we have these moments where these storms come in really fast. Good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me back in. That's exactly right. I mean, you talk about 8 inches of rain in just a few hours in, you know, just north of the city in some of those suburbs. That is what the climate scientists are saying is going to be coming a lot more frequently. And it's time for us to think about how we deal with these issues. We're certainly seeing them more now already.
You know, this storm has been one that, you know, is well documented. The journalists in the area are doing great work of being able to tell the stories, but it's such heartbreak to see the photos and the video and the stories of people who have to leave their houses, flooding in the basements, not just their basement, but their yards, their streets. I mean, it's Lake County calls it, it already had called disaster. The state of Illinois is getting there. I mean, is this going to be something that we're going to see more and more of in our area? Or like you said, Josh, is this something that, you know, because it's not the first time these rivers have flooded, that just is part of being by a river?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. And certainly we've talked about the impacts of these more violent storms that we're seeing regularly in Chicago, with the Chicago River reversing course and flowing into Lake Michigan. We're seeing that in other parts of the city where the Chicago River has gone over. We saw it earlier in the year in St. Louis, where the rivers went up over their banks and flooded out I-55 for a period of time. This is something that is happening more frequently. We also have the issue of a lot of development along the floodplains, particularly in the suburbs here. And that is another problem that we're seeing, real issues all over the place. You know, I happened to watch the WGN TV news last night, and their coverage from the chain of lakes ended with somebody saying, well, you know, that's the price we pay for living in a floodplain. There's a recognition that maybe we're developing in places that are putting people in harm's way, and it's time to think about how to deal with the financial cost that comes from that.
And that's a great point, because yes, you live on a floodplain, and there has been a little bit of roll the dice in the past, but as these storms change because of climate change, you're going to get them more normalized, more in succession, more consistent. How do we deal with that as a community? Because flood insurance comes into play, cleanup costs, county costs, state costs. I mean, if this is going to be the kind of storm that comes through the area on a more consistent basis, do we have the resources to deal with it?
Well, so one of the things that's important is to plan for this. We need to put a lot more thought into our stormwater systems and investing in the sorts of resources that hold that stormwater, collects it, keeps it from going into people's basements in the city. That's green infrastructure. That's like the planted roofs and open space. In other places, it's thinking about how we are using those retention ponds and building in infrastructure to hold that water when it comes in really, really fast. And it's also the financial infrastructure. A lot of people are part of the National Flood Insurance Program. That's a program that right now some real reforms are being considered. There's a bill being discussed in Congress. It's a Republican bill. You know, you were talking about let's not jump to climate change. That is that's a controversial issue. But in this case, there's a recognition that we are spending more on flood victims than we are bringing in the National Flood Insurance Program, and we need to be able to deal with that. The folks who are stuck in this cycle of flooding, who live in floodplains and want to get out, or they're done after a couple of floods and they're sick of rebuilding their homes, we need to give them better options. And so part of that is thinking about our policy and fiscal landscape around these storms and how we deal
with it. Yeah, I mean, that is a great point. I mean, there's been much made about what FEMA can do and what the, as you just mentioned, National Flood Insurance can do to essentially buy out and not force people to leave, but to say we could buy this property because it's not going to be, if you go to the market, you're not going to be able to get money for a place that's going to be in a floodplain. But talk about that. Talk about, is that sort of where you see the government going to sort of recognize that we're in these places that are going to be affected by climate change, buying them out to get them to a higher ground or to get them out of harm's way that wasn't harm's way even 50 years ago?
Yeah, you know, we just posted an article on our website on nrdc.org that looks at where the money for the National Flood Insurance goes. And what we find is that there are a lot of places where taxpayers have rebuilt people's homes a few times. Those folks don't like that cycle. They want out of that, and we need to give them options. So that's the beginning, the recognition of money that maybe we need to be spending differently. It points to some other bigger issues, and that is this is a problem that we're just starting to see. It's going to get worse. We need to deal with climate change, which is part of the root of the problem. We need to think about our zoning laws and reform some of those to deal with these problems that we're only starting to see the worst of. There's a lot more of this coming.
You know, it's turning from water to heat. You know, the president right now is in Paris. There's been talk about sort of bringing up the Paris Accord. Of course, that was the big news a couple months back about pulling out of the Paris Accord. And the NRDC and others have talked about what the implications are. If we're not going to be dedicated to reducing fossil fuel, one of the areas they say that this will manifest itself if we don't try to bring the limits down is heat waves. We saw this in Chicago in 1995, obviously the most famous. But this idea of the sustained 4, 5, 6, 7 day heat wave with no break, just like with floods along the rivers and quick storms, without reducing fossil fuels, you believe this will be the future and the norm for us here in Chicago?
Yeah, it's a real problem nationally, but it's particularly bad here in Chicago because of both our climate, but also this issue of heat islands, where in a big city like Chicago, the heat is absorbed and sticks around longer. It's why it's part of the reason that that heat wave that you talked about in the 90s killed 600 people over just a short period of time. We ran numbers, we looked at the climate projections, and we came up with some things that are really frightening in terms of tens of thousands of people, additional deaths beyond what we see now if we don't deal with climate change in the coming years. We're talking about something like an additional 14,000 Americans could die annually by the mid-century if we don't get serious and offset some of the worst climate impacts that are already being predicted.
Is that the only way to do it, is to reduce fossil fuel use? I mean, is that really what we're looking at? Is it as simple as saying, find out ways to curb emissions?
We need to lower our carbon footprint. We need to reduce fossil fuels. We need to think about other areas of the economy. We need to look at aviation. We need to make our buildings more efficient so that we're using less energy in the homes. And that's stuff that we think about every day. When you buy a refrigerator, you look at the Energy Star program. It tells you which ones use the least amount of energy to give you the same amount of cold beer that you get normally. Those are things that we need to get really serious about. Unfortunately, those are also programs that are being cut by the current administration. So there's real concerns about how quickly we can ramp up and do what we need to so that we don't see this big human toll.
You know, everything we're talking about here is this idea that we could see right in front of us a change in our planet, and that change is having negative consequences. We see that right now in the northern suburbs here in northern Illinois. And on the same, what has to happen is that resources from some sort of government, whether it be local, state, federal, has to go to that to change the way we think about these things. When the administration that we currently have has suggested, the House budget suggested, I forgot the number, 7%, 10% cut to the EPA. They want
a third.
But I mean, that's the Trump, but what the House wants is less. But my point being that, like, it feels like I'm trying to reconcile with the things that we see on the street and everybody sees with the responsibility of the government to change the way that we allocate resources or try to change the way we live so that we can deal with it. There seems to be a gap in that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think to deal with this problem, this is an all hands on deck issue. Everybody, every level of government needs to engage. And right now, I'm not particularly happy with what I see on the federal side. But closer to home, we've got things to be happy with. The Future Energy Job Act just became law in June. Illinois is stepping up. Incentivizing clean energy, incentivizing energy efficiency. We're going to be a leader in the nation. You look at the work that the city of Chicago has done to advance sustainability efforts, to advance renewable energy. The rubber hits the road in the city and the state. These are where we're dealing with the impacts. These are folks who have their hands on the ground, or their hands on the folks who are really having to deal with these impacts. And those are the places where you're seeing policies going in a place that are going to help. We need to do more. We need to do more quickly. But all isn't lost just because we're not seeing what we want to see in D.C. right now.
It's fascinating to look at floods, climate change, flood insurance, the heat index, everything in between. Josh Mogerman from the NRDC joins us regularly here on The Download. Josh, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks.